Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast, and I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, with producer Nate Vaughn. We're coming to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park. We are here to talk about the NFL Scouting Combine. We're going to give you a preview of the 2016 edition. The Scouting Combine this year, February 23rd to the 29th in Indianapolis, Indiana. Nate Vaughn, yours truly, and a few others from the VEN crew will be in Indianapolis covering the Combine and bringing that coverage to you on Vikings.com through a variety of methods. We'll be doing a Wobcast from there. We'll be doing a Pick 6 from there. We'll be covering everything that happens in Indianapolis. We'll even have some recaps from some of the on-field workouts with videos provided by the NFL Network. We'll talk to some of the experts down there, see what they have to say, not only about the Combine and the draft-eligible players, but about some free agents, about the Vikings 2015 season, and what's ahead in 2016 for the Vikings. And this edition of the Wobcast, as we preview the Combine, we're going to take a look at what is going to happen in Indianapolis, who you're going to hear from a Vikings perspective. We're going to take a look back with Vikings Director of College Scouting Jamal Stevenson with an interview he did with us from last year. We're going to take a look at a handful or more of players participating in this Combine, talk about them a little bit, take a look back at last year's Combine, some top performers. We're going to take a question from a listener. So we got a lot to get to on this edition of the Wobcast, and let's get to it. Vikings press conferences at the Combine. You're going to have two of them, folks. GM Rick Spielman will meet with the media Wednesday at 12 p.m., and then Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer will meet with the media and have a press conference on Thursday at 11:15 a.m. A couple of things I'm looking for in those pressers. Obviously, a lot of information can come from both of those press conferences, but if I could highlight one or two things I'm going to be looking for. From the Spielman presser, gauge the team's temperature on free agent interest. And obviously, we're going to the Combine, Nate, to talk about the 2016 draft, talk about some of these college players who might be able to help us out. But inevitably, when you're at the Combine, free agency comes up, other business comes up, and it's just kind of like, you know, an NFL convention, and all things NFL come up. I think it'll be interesting to hear. Not that Rick's going to say what the team's going to do in free agency, but it's just interesting to hear Rick and all the other GMs start talking about free agency.
Another thing to keep an eye on, too, as we get closer and during the Combine is some of those guys that could be free agents, a good amount of them, the higher end ones at least, are going to be looking at a franchise tag. Mm-hmm. And might not be a thing that the Vikings are going to play a big part in this year, but it'll be interesting to see what players from what teams get that franchise tag and what teams get to hold on to those guys for at least another year.
Absolutely. Those coaches and GMs get up on the podiums and, you know, the assembled national media is there firing questions at him, and interesting stuff comes all the time. And these guys are not giving away what their plans are, and that's not the point of it, but just to get their thoughts on certain things, from the franchise tag, as you're mentioning, to other issues that that are around the league. It's a fun time. From Coach Zimmer, I hope someone asks him his thoughts on the PAT change, because a year ago at this time, that was a topic of conversation that it could happen, and it wound up happening. And coaches get asked all the time about rules changes and what is a catch and the catch rule and all that. And I think it'll be interesting to see what head coaches think about the change to the PAT. And then I'm also going to be interested to hear Coach Zimmer's thoughts on the tone of the offseason for his team. Because last year, if you remember, the Vikings were coming off a 7-9 season, which was an improvement from the season prior, but he was like, I'm sick of getting all these compliments about my team, because I mean, it's nice that they're saying nice things to me, but that wasn't good enough. We can do better. So I think it'll be interesting to hear Coach Zimmer kind of set a tone for his team for the offseason when he's at this press conference. Speaking of Coach Zimmer, we actually had a chance to sit down with Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer last week to get a combine preview from him. Here were some of his thoughts.
All right, so the Combine is coming up. Glitzy, and it's glamorous, and everyone pays attention to it, and they think they know what they're looking for. But from your standpoint, what is the use of the Combine for you?
Well, you always get the measurement things, and those are, you know, it's standard. Then, you know, it's not one time it's at this school and he's 5.113, and the next time he's 5.111. The weights, how they sit there, all the different measurements. I think those are all good. The interview times, when you get a chance to sit down and visit with the guys and kind of get a feel for them. You know, a lot of times it's rehearsed, but you still get a feel for the player. I like watching the 40 as much as anything. You just watch these guys run and see who can run and who doesn't run near as well, and then you kind of put it all together and try and figure it out.
And you love to do the press conference and radio row.
Of course. That's my second favorite part of the combine.
All right, good. Is it different for you being a head coach as opposed to being a coordinator or a position coach?
Yeah, it really is. The length of time that you're there, trying to fit everything in with the offense, defense, special teams, players, it's much more time consuming. And the week drags on quite a bit longer.
When you were a position coach or a coordinator, did you ever coach a position at the combine during drills?
I did. I think my first year I did the defensive backs.
Is there something to be said for doing that? Do you like it? If a Vikings assistant were to do that, would you like that? Or is there no value to be gained?
You know what I think the value is that you get a chance to be around the players a little bit more in a different type of setting where they're not so on guard. Trying to see how they are, you know, you've got 32 GMs up here, 32 franchises, and they're all looking at you. And you kind of see how they react in that situation as well. But, yeah, I think it's good. If guys want to do it, I would never force them into doing it.
So there were Coach Zimmer's thoughts on the upcoming Combine. For more of his thoughts on the Combine and for the entire interview that we had with Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer, stay tuned to Vikings.com because that's going to be up there early next week. This is a very important time of year for Jamal Stevenson because he is the Vikings director of college scouting. Hopefully we're going to have a chance to catch up with him before we go to Indianapolis so he can give us his preview of the 2016 NFL Scouting Combine. But for the time being, let's take a look back at an interview we did with Jamal last year at the Combine in the room where the Vikings actually interview the Combine participants. Coverage of the 2015 NFL Scouting Combine continues from Vikings Entertainment Network. We are in Indianapolis, joined by Vikings Director of College Scouting, Jamal Stevenson. Your second season, Jamal, as the Director of College Scouting, but your first Combine in that role, is that right?
That's right, yeah. It was around this time last year that Scott Studwell approached me, and he said, hey, I'm thinking about stepping down. I know you're ready for this role. I mean, you've been groomed for it, and you know, would you like it? And of course, I was glad to accept the offer from Rick when he gave it to me.
All right, this is an important room. People hear all about the combine. We see on TV it's 40-yard dashes and vertical leaps and broad jumps. And we're in the room where you interview players. This is it. Tell us a little bit about what happens in here.
Well, we have 60 guys that we are allowed to talk to. And so we'll bring them in, and they come up, and this is the hot seat. This is where they sit, and so we'll have our coaches here. Coach Zimmer will sit here in the front, and Rick, and then we'll have the position coaches at this table, as well as the coordinator. This is my chair here.
If it's an offensive player, you'll have Norv in here. Defensive player, George, right?
Okay. Exactly. So, and then we'll have scouts in the back, as well as our psychological staff.
Okay. So, cool. So you have 60 players. Are you peppering them with questions, or is it orchestrated?
Well, it kind of depends on the player. What we want to do is put our coaches in front of these guys to kind of go, dig deeper into that background to see if there's any issues that we think may arise. Or if he's a guy that's just a good Viking fit or not a good Viking fit. That's kind of what we're doing. We're going to pepper him with questions. We're also going to put him on the film. We're going to have film for every guy, and then our coaches will take them through their own film from their school, and we'll see how they talk through their tape. So.
It's a pretty standard practice. You've been with other teams. I would imagine most teams treat it the same way, but different teams have different needs and different fits, so there is a little bit of uniqueness to it that way as well. You also have a whiteboard, so I would imagine you can have a quarterback draw a play to beat a certain defense or have a defender draw his favorite blitz or something like that, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, we'll put the player on the board, and he'll put up his favorite play, and he'll design it against, if it's a quarterback, he'll design it against the defense. He'll talk us through what every player is doing, what his pre-play reads are, and we'll go from there. And the coordinator will usually take over from that point. Okay. You know, Rick delves mainly into the background stuff, and then he gives it over to the coach. But you want to put them in the hot seat and, you know, in front of all of our people just to see how they handle pressure, because that, you know, that carries over to the field.
And then when they come in here, you give them shirts and hats, right? You give them some swag, right?
We do. We got to make sure that they're prepared, you know, so they go out with a Vikings T-shirt and a hat,
How does it start when a guy walks in? I mean, for you guys, you're doing this 60 times. For the player, they're doing it 60 times. I mean, so it gets old. Is it just they come in right away and it's business right away? Because you also have a time frame, right? So you can't really waste much time.
No, you can't. And especially this year, we're going to do the film. So we got to get into the background, make sure that we know, you know, what the player is about, and then make sure that we get them on the film, because we want to make sure that they can learn our scheme. So we want to hear them talk through their scheme and see how comfortable they are, you know, talking football.
Okay, shifting the focus to this year's Combine, we're going to take a listen to one of our favorite podcasts here, the Move the Sticks podcast. They took a look at five players to watch at this year's Combine.
So let's look at a handful of players that really have us intrigued heading towards Indianapolis. Looking forward to watching them. I'll give you the floor first here, Buck.
Derrick Henry from Alabama is a guy that I'm intrigued to see what he does at the Combine. He's an explosive athlete. Having been around him in high school, I know he's going to be a guy that clocks extreme times, probably a 4.4 and the 40 or 42-inch vertical. But what I really want to see is, can he be a route runner out the backfield? I think everyone understands that he's a grinder. He can make cuts. He can play in a physical style that allows him to be the workhorse back. But to play in the pro game, can he make catches out the backfield? That will enhance his value, because when you add the athletic measurable that he's going to put up combined with the production, he's a first-round pick, but can he be a dominant and an elite prospect?
Yeah, he's one of those guys you got to focus on what he can do. I talk a lot about the fact him needing a little bit of a runway, but he's got a lot of positives you can focus on. He is going to test out the gym there in Indianapolis. I'm going to go to the corner position, Buck. I'm going to go Vernon Hargraves from Florida. Somebody that he's not going to be that tall. He's probably going to be 5'10", maybe even a hair under 5'10". But you're going to see a dynamic, twitched-up athlete in Indianapolis. You're going to see him jump extremely high. You're going to see him test really, really well. All the agility drills is going to be outstanding. My thing, though, is watch him in the field drills, because I believe you're going to see a very fluid corner, very athletic guy who can jump up, high point the football. Reminds me a little bit of Pac-Man Jones, who's come out of West Virginia.
Pac-Man Jones is a great comparison, and when you think about how these drills are done in Indianapolis, you get a chance to really fall in love with the movement skills. Small guys look different than bigger guys going through drills. He really can help his value. If he measures out at 5'10", I think he's a guy that top 10, we know for sure he's coming off the board.
Let's stick at the corner position. Give us another name there, Buck.
You know, I got a man crush on Jalen Ramsey. I think Jalen Ramsey is one of the best players in the draft, if not the best player in the draft. He's a versatile player. Kind of reminds me of an old former teammate in Charles Woodson in his ability to play multiple spots in the back end. Explosive, smart, highly intelligent. I think when you look at him at the combine, the thing you have to focus on, the athletic attributes. He won the long jump in the ACC in 2015, track and field championships. He's going to be a guy that tests really well. When you add all the things together, what he brings to the table, I think you're talking about a top five talent, someone that you can build around in the defense.
Yeah, one of the first games I watched on him was last year. I want to say it was against either Florida or Miami. Just completely took the game over there and led that Seminoles defense with all those NFL players on that squad that won the national championship. I'm going to go wide receiver for my next one here, Buck. I'm going to go Notre Dame Will Fuller. You want somebody that's going to blaze a big-time time in Indianapolis, Will Fuller is going to do that for you. You talk about top speed. All you have to do is watch him against USC, Adoree Jackson, who's a track star for the Trojans. No chance where Will Fuller got going, went right by him. I think you'll see him put up a big-time time. But I want to see him catch the football. That to me, is the big question with him. He tracks it naturally down the field, but he does have some drops, especially when he's faced up to the quarterback. You'll see him jump unnecessarily, take some balls off the pads. I want to see how naturally he can catch the football.
No, catching the football is really a big thing, and I think you've made a comparison before to Ted Ginn Jr. Ted Ginn Jr. was a big-time playmaker for the Carolina Panthers, and despite his deficiencies as a pass catcher, there's still a place for those guys in the game. I think for Will Fuller, he's a legitimate deep threat. He's someone you can build around if you have a number one. I want to see the speed, the explosiveness, because I feel like a good receiver coach will find a way to work through the hands and give him confidence in that end.
I'm talking about a fast receiver. You got another fast receiver to look at.
Corey Coleman. Corey Coleman's a guy that I absolutely love. I think he's a player who is the best wide receiver in the draft. Explosive, tough, can make plays after the catch. He is someone that you can build around in a vertical offense or also a West Coast system that features a lot of catch and run plays. The big thing for Coleman, How advanced is he when it comes to being a route runner? Runs a couple simple routes at Baylor. Can he run all the things in the route tree? Because if he can show people that he can run the full complement of routes, I think you feel confident that he can be the number one receiver. And if he's the number one receiver, I think somewhere in the top 10, maybe he sneaks in no worse than 15.
Hitch, slant, post, go. That's it. That's all he does there, but that's all you need to see. You can see him just blow by people. Very explosive athlete. I like you, want to see him run a variety of routes. I think he's the best receiver in this draft class as well, Bucky. In fact, there's three names that came to mind when I watched him, and these are big-time names. Tavon Austin obviously went very high in the draft. Antonio Brown for some of that run-after-catch ability. And then also Steve Smith for that grittiness, that toughness, and an undersized player outside.
Steve Smith is a really good comparison. I was with Steve Smith at Carolina, and we talked about a guy that played like a running back on the perimeter. Corey Coleman has similar attributes. That's why I believe he's the best one in the draft.
Couple of thoughts, Nate, on those players. Derrick Henry, he's going to draw Eddie Lacy comparisons, I think, because of how they're built. They're from the same school, and they should go, or he should go, kind of where Eddie Lacy went, perhaps, late first round. Vernon Hargraves, I think, is really interesting. Everyone has him going top 10. Seems like he'd be a fit as a nickel corner, maybe, playing in the slot. Because
at least to start, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that'll be interesting. Will Fuller, Notre Dame wide receiver, a guy who kind of piques your interest a little bit. Why is that?
Yeah, I just thought he was kind of fun to watch. I didn't watch every Notre Dame game this fall, but I did. They're all, you know, they're always on NBC. They're always on TV, so right. They're always on. And he was just making play after play after play. And I know sometimes some players don't really translate completely to the NFL side of things. They mentioned that Will Fuller reminds them of Ted Ginn. Mm-hmm. Ted Ginn didn't really grow to be the playmaker that he was in college, but hey, he just played in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, I mean, I'll be really interested to see not just how Will Fuller does this coming week, but also in his rookie year in the NFL, because he's a fun playmaker to watch.
One of the notes I have on him right here, 29 touchdowns in the past two seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, so playing at Notre Dame, like he's not, with all due respect to some of the, you know, the schools that aren't in the bigger conferences, but I mean, he's not playing in a small conference or Division II or III. I mean, this is at Notre Dame.
Well, and they're not a school that like airs it out all the time either.
Yeah, that's
not,
true.
It's
yeah.
not like Houston or any of those schools. Like this right. is a, they're not just chucking it all over the place.
29 touchdowns.
That's a lot.
In the last two seasons. So, it'll be interesting. And he's not a name you always hear all the time.
No.
Right now, at least not yet. You know?
No.
So, speaking of schools that aired out, you mentioned the University of Houston, who is known to do that. But another school in Texas does that, Baylor. And that's Corey Coleman, the Baylor wide receiver. He had 20 touchdowns this past season, the Biletnikoff winner. So he'll be an interesting guy to track as well. And then Jalen Ramsey, we already have a Florida State University defensive back in Xavier Rhodes. Could add another one perhaps in Jalen Ramsey, although everyone has him going in the top 10, so might not have the opportunity to do that. So kind of a cool preview of five players there from Move the Sticks. We're going to preview five more players. And what we've done here, folks, is we've taken a look at Mike Mayock and Bucky Brooks' top five prospects at each position. And obviously, we're not going to go over all of them right now, but we have a handful to go over. So let's start up front with two offensive linemen. One is Taylor Decker, an Ohio State offensive tackle. Mike Mayock has Taylor Decker as the number four rated offensive tackle on his board, and Bucky Brooks also has him as the number four rated offensive tackle on his board. So interesting that they agree there. A few notes on Taylor Decker. 2015 Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year. So, Nate, I know you're a big Big Ten fan because you like to root for the University of Iowa.
I do, okay, especially do. Years like this year.
Right, it was a lot of fun for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're the best offensive lineman in the Big Ten, that's a significant thing. It's kind of like if you're the fastest player in the SEC, that matters.
Right.
I think if you're the best offensive lineman in the Big Ten, that's cool.
Yeah, the Big Ten, definitely a conference that knows their line play, knows how to run the ball, but also it's not like they're awful at pass blocking either.
Right.
They know their offensive tackles.
So Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year this past season, 3-year starter at a school like Ohio State. That's a big deal. And from his NFL.com scouting profile, this is not my or Nate's evaluation. That's not our lane. We're going to stay in our lanes. But this is from NFL.com scouting profile of Taylor Decker. Endowed with very good core strength and an ability to match power at the point of attack. Also, tough guy who scouts believe, again, NFL scouts, not Viking scouts, believe has locker room presence and field demeanor to be an instant leader. Also, a guy who had a lot of success at Ohio State. Ohio State has played in a lot of big games. They've had a lot of really good records over the years, and Taylor Decker has been a constant starter on those teams. To me, feels like, and he played left tackle at Ohio State. To me, kind of reads like reading a lot of this stuff about him. It's like a college left tackle who could maybe move to right tackle in the pros initially, but have that ability to swing left tackle, right tackle. And those guys have some value, obviously, with the Vikings dealing with offensive line injuries the past two seasons. I think a guy like that could have some value. Another offensive lineman, Cody Whitehair, Kansas State offensive guard. Mayock has him as the number one offensive guard on his board. And Bucky Brooks has him as the number one interior offensive lineman, guards and centers on his board. So another player on whom both Mayock and Brooks agree. Bucky Brooks calls Whitehair a rugged blocker with strong hands and body control. The NFL.com scouting profile says Cody Whitehair has been moved from right tackle to left guard, back to right tackle, and finally to left tackle for his last two seasons. A first-team All-Big 12 honoree in 2015 as a left tackle. Nate, I bring him up because I love that versatility. Not sure why he's listed as a guard if he played a bunch of tackle, but it would be cool to pick 23rd but get the number one offensive guard.
Yeah, that'd definitely be a good thing. And you see that a lot more to guys that are playing tackle for their college teams, if nothing else, just because they're the best offensive lineman that team has.
Right.
Where in the NFL, it's more precise to what position they could play their best at for the good of the team.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of the reasons you see a lot of tackles moving into guard, at least for their first couple seasons in the league.
No doubt about it. So interesting guy to watch. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. And Nate, neither you nor I went to the Senior Bowl. Two of our cohorts did. Craig Peters went and Mike Harris went. But this guy was a standout at the Senior Bowl. Noah Spence, Eastern Kentucky defensive end slash outside linebacker. I say slash outside linebacker because Mike Mayock has him listed under the edge rusher category, and he's the number two edge rusher on Mayock's board, while Bucky Brooks has him listed in the hybrid category and has him, Noah Spence, as the number one player in the hybrid category. So Bucky Brooks says he was nearly unstoppable in one-on-one drills and team drills at the Senior Bowl, which suggests he could blossom as a closer at the next level. From the NFL.com scouting profile, first team All-Big Ten at Ohio State in 2013, then banned from the Big Ten and transferred to Eastern Kentucky. 22.5 tackles for loss, 13.5 sacks at Eastern Kentucky to become an AP FCS All-American. He's listed, Nate, at 6'2", 254, which means he's the classic tweener in a 4-3 D-end, as a D-end in the 4-3, as an outside linebacker in the 3-4. The NFL.com scouting report goes on to say his issues are well documented, but his recovery and turnaround is what has NFL teams excited. Spence has been accountable for his actions and worked just as hard off the field as he has on the field to change his life and attack his problems. That's from the NFL.com scouting profile. So an interesting prospect here. And when you get a guy with that much talent but has those questions in his background, you start to wonder if a guy like that can fall to the 20s. And all of that stuff aside, and just looking at his skill set, that 3-4, 4-3 edge guy who can pressure the passer, I think we saw in the Super Bowl the kind of value that player can have. And again, this guy dominated at the Senior Bowl. And you know who else dominated? Don't poo-poo the Senior Bowl. Aaron Donald, when he was at the Senior Bowl, dominated that week. And I was there and I saw it. And obviously Aaron Donald has become one of the better defensive tackles in the NFL, if not the best. And so don't take that lightly. I know more people pay attention to the Combine than the Senior Bowl, but performing well at the Senior Bowl matters, and Noah Spence did just that. All right, we'll go to the next one. And I know people aren't going to be looking at quarterback and the Vikings in the first round, but I'm going to talk about a quarterback. Carson Wentz, North Dakota State product. Mayock has him as the number one quarterback on his board. Bucky Brooks has him as the number two quarterback on his board. Carson Wentz led NDSU to two national titles, listed at 6'5", 232 pounds, so he's got that prototypical size. The NFL.com scouting profile says, played in a pro-style attack with plenty of snaps under center. Asked to make NFL throws and showed he could do it, stands tall in the pocket, and delivers with a relatively high release point. Thought that was notable because you hear analysts talking all the time about the proliferation of the spread attack in the college game has caused a lot of quarterbacks to have a longer adjustment period to being under center or to doing some things in an NFL offense. And the scouting profile kind of indicates that Wentz may not have that learning curve. Bucky Brooks says Wentz has shot up the charts as a big-bodied passer with A-plus arm talent and terrific movement skills. Brooks goes on to say he solidified his status as one of the top quarterbacks in the class with a strong performance at the Senior Bowl. Carson Wentz, NDSU. Any further thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, A, he might not be on the board when we pick at 23, mm-hmm. and B, we might not be looking for a quarterback in the first round, but it is cool just to hear about a North Dakota State football player being talked about so high in the draft because they've been so good for so long. Now, finally, some of those players getting a little bit of recognition. Yep.
You know, it's interesting. There is not a Cameron Newton, Andrew Luck quarterback in this class where it's no doubt about it, this guy is head and shoulders above all the other quarterbacks. This is, this is more of a all ice cream is. Bob Papa is one of my favorite NFL analysts out there for SiriusXM NFL Radio, and he always says it's kind of like ice cream. It's all delicious. It just depends what flavor you like. And I think that's what the case is with these quarterbacks, with Carson Wentz, Goff, and with the kid from Memphis, Paxton Lynch. So it'll be interesting to see how those quarterbacks shake out and who does better, as the experts will tell you at the combine, but among those three quarterbacks. Last player, it's Notre Dame linebacker Jalen Smith. Here's the deal on Jalen Smith. Mayock's number one linebacker, Bucky Brooks' number one linebacker. Bucky Brooks says, defensive coordinators are searching for athletic linebackers with safety-like cover skills. The NFL.com scouting profile on Jalen Smith says he checks every size, weight, speed, and athleticism box there is. In this day and age of tweeners being labeled hybrid players, Smith is the rare commodity who is truly hybrid in the sense that he has the athleticism, speed, and physical makeup to play any linebacker spot in either the 3-4 or the 4-3. Entering the 2015 college season, Jalen Smith was one of the best defensive players in the draft. So, Nate, what's the problem? Why isn't this guy the consensus no-brainer number one pick in the draft?
He got hurt in the Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State.
Tore his ACL and MCL in the bowl game, and that obviously leaves his 2016 status in question. Not that he wouldn't be drafted or be on a team, just you don't know when he's going to be able to get back out onto the field, much like Todd Gurley when he injured his knee in his final season at Georgia, was drafted by the Rams, and the question all early in the season for the Rams was, when is Gurley going to get on the field? That's what's going to happen here to Jalen Smith, but he's a guy that obviously made a bunch of plays at Notre Dame, and from the sounds of it here, he can fit in any defense in the league.
I'm sure any defense would be glad to take him, too.
Yeah, so interesting guy to watch. Obviously not to watch at the combine because it sounds like here he won't be participating in any of the drills, but his name will be one that's bandied about in the halls of Lucas Oil Stadium, and it'll be interesting to see what happens to his stock between now going through the combine and the pro days, between now and the draft. All right, we pulled the fan question from the inbox. So let's stop talking about the combine and talk about what the fan wants to talk about.
The fan named Mike Smith.
Not former head coach Mike Smith, I'm guessing. I don't think he emails me.
I'm guessing it's not, but hey, who knows?
Right.
This fan wants to know, do you think we should go after the best available wide receiver during free agency this offseason?
Well, I'm never against adding talent to any position, regardless of what position it is. So, for example, the Vikings have Adrian Peterson, in my estimation, the best running back in the NFL. That doesn't mean you don't go out and look to add a talented running back in the offseason. So I'm certainly not averse to adding talent to the wide receiver position. I think part of this depends on what happens with the guys who were under contract for the Vikings in 2015. Which of those guys will be back in 2016? That certainly factors into what you might do in the offseason. You know, and specifically you're talking about Mike Wallace and whether or not he's going to be back. I'm sure both Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman will be asked about that at the Combine. So I'm not against it. I think when you look at the free agent class, some names that stand out to me just from a name recognition standpoint, Anquan Boldin is a free agent. Jermaine Kearse from the Seahawks is a free agent. Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones are scheduled to be free agents. The Giants' Reuben Randall, Cleveland's Travis Benjamin, James Jones from Green Bay, Baltimore's Kamar Aiken, just some names that I know or recognize who are scheduled to be free agents. So those names could draw some interest from multiple teams. The thing to remember about free agents and free agency is that the free agent period does not begin until March 9th. So we can talk about all these players all we want, and a lot of people are banging their desks right now saying, why didn't you mention Alshon Jeffrey? Yes, he's scheduled to be a free agent as well, but I'm sure the Bears are going to want to keep him, and the Bears have every opportunity to do that between now and March 9th, and even if they can't come to an agreement with Alshon Jeffrey by March 9th, they can still sign him after March 9th, and they can use the franchise tag. So it's premature kind of to actually be talking about free agency because a lot's going to happen between now and when free agency starts. But wide receiver is a position that a lot of people like to talk about. The passing game is an area where a lot of people would like to see the Vikings generate some improvement. So I'm not surprised that people have questions about it. I think only time will tell on the wide receiver position and free agency for the Vikings, but certainly some names that we all recognize who are scheduled to be free agents. And it will be interesting to see if the Vikings go after any of them. Top performers from last year's combine. I'm going to give you four Vikings, four current Vikings, who, before they were Vikings, did very well at the combine in some of the on-field drills. Let's start with the first-round pick, Trey Waynes. He was first among all cornerbacks in the 40-yard dash, 4.31 seconds. He matched that speed with some strength. First among all cornerbacks in the bench press at 19 reps. So an impressive combine performance from Trey Waynes. Danielle Hunter, the Vikings' third-round pick, he was first in the 40-yard dash at his position, 4.57 seconds. He tore up the Lucas Oil Stadium turf in the 40-yard dash, 4.57, very good for a man of his size playing defensive end. Offensive lineman T.J. Clemmings, a fourth-round pick. Among all offensive linemen, T.J. showed his athleticism, second in the vertical jump at 32.5 inches, former basketball player T.J. Clemmings showing off that vertical at the combine, and then testing some agility and some quickness in the 20-yard shuttle. T.J. was fourth among all offensive linemen at 4.54 seconds. But the guy who has the most to talk about from his combine performance is tight end Mykole Pruitt. Among all tight ends, he was first in the 40-yard dash at 4.58 seconds. He was first in the vertical jump at 38 inches, fourth in the broad jump, 9 feet 10 inches, third in the 20-yard shuttle, 4.37, and third in the 60-yard shuttle at 11.85. So an impressive combine performance from Mykole Pruitt.
Another interesting thing, too, if you think about one of the standout rookies we had this year wasn't even mentioned in that group.
That is Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can tell you that numbers mean everything, and these guys did really well and played well for us this year, but then you can also say, well, what about Stephon Diggs? Mm-hmm. Wasn't a top performer in really anything compared to some of the other receivers last year, but played very well for us this year.
I guess it just goes to show you don't put all your stock in the combine, and you don't put all your stock in any aspect of the evaluation process. Everything is just a piece to the puzzle, and you got to look at the entire picture when all is said and done and do your best to stack your board and select some players. Okay, let's go a day-by-day schedule at the combine and talk about what we're going to be looking for. So you've broken it down here, Nate, every day of the combine and then what's happening that day that we can pay attention to. So, for example, Wednesday, place kickers, special teamers, offensive linemen, and running backs will be in the media room doing interviews. What I'm going to be looking for is, or listening for, is running backs who will talk about wanting to be an all-around running back and running backs who are going to be willing in pass protection to step up on third down and be good pass protectors. You know, to me, In this day and age where the running back position is changing and what's asked of the running backs is changing, I think it's important for these guys to come into the league and to want to be all-around players and not to just specialize in one thing. So I'll be listening to see which running backs are talking about that. We go to Thursday. Quarterbacks, wideouts, and tight ends will be in the media room. I can't wait to watch Carson Wentz at the podium. See what the North Dakota State kid has to say. See how he handles a big moment like that. You know, we've seen a lot of big moments in these in the media rooms. I mean, Manti Te'o, Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow. Carson Wentz is not going to be anything like that, but there are going to be a lot of people at the podium, so I'll be curious to see how he handles it. Friday, one thing you have listed here, Nate, place kickers, special teamers, offensive linemen, running backs, on-field drills. I can't wait to hear the Mayocks, the Charles Davises, the Brian Billicks of the world weigh in on who they think stands out from the offensive linemen, you know, because inevitably they're going to do that. So which guys look good, who's moving well, which tackles could slide into guard, which guards could slide out and play tackle, who are the good foot athletes. To me, it'll be interesting to see what those guys have to say about that.
And really, you can't trust people like us talking about offensive linemen, really, because we don't really know anything about it.
No, and those guys do.
Right.
And they went to the Senior Bowl, so they watch a lot of these guys at the Senior Bowl, and now they're going to watch them in some of the athletic drills. And so they're going to start to put that whole piece together, and it'll be interesting to see what they have to say. Saturday, quarterbacks, wideouts, tight ends, on-field drills. What I'm going to watch is...
That'll be a fun day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The big-bodied wide receivers who, when they catch the ball looks small in their hands. That, to me, indicates, like, because, you know, big hands, you make the football look small. To me, you got a better chance to make not just all the routine catches, but some of the amazing catches. And, you know, hand size and form and making the ball look small in your hands, not catching it or trapping it against your body, but basically having your hands swallow the football, that will stand out to me when the wide receivers get on the field. Sunday, defensive linemen and linebackers on-field drills. Noah Spence. I didn't pay that much attention to him when he was playing. Didn't watch a lot of Eastern Kentucky games, as it turns out. So can't wait to watch this guy on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium. Monday, defensive backs on the fields. How about a hybrid-looking safety like Arizona Cardinals safety Dion Buchanan? Let's get a guy like that, you know? See if any of those defensive backs look like linebackers but move like corners. If you can find one like that, I think you got a good one. All right, that's going to do it for our Combine preview. We are going to be in Indianapolis next week, everyone. We fly in on Monday. Are you excited, Nate?
I am excited.
Yeah.
Nothing like Indianapolis in February.
Right. You know, it's, hey, I mean, no one can accuse us of, you know, being glitzy and glamorous and going to the beach and, you know, to the palm trees and feet in the sand. We're hoofing it. We're working hard. We're in freezing cold Indianapolis, Indiana in February working.
In all seriousness, it is fun. It's one of the only times where all the names in the NFL, coaches and GMs are all in one place at the same time.
Yep, and so we're going to be there, and you're going to be there too if you listen and watch our stuff on Vikings.com, because we'll be there all week next week bringing you content constantly. So be sure you stay in tune with the Vikings Twitter account. Make sure you stay in tune with the website, and make sure you stay in tune with the Wobcast, because we'll be bringing you another edition of the Wobcast from the Combine, as well as the Pick 6, tons of written content, tons of video content, all coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, next week at the 2016 NFL Scouting Combine. So until next week, and on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This edition of the Wobcast is over. We'll talk to you guys next week.